Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
Hi, I'm Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. As you all know, I've been talking about this. I am a fractional chief marketing officer. And if I have been asked once, I've been asked a gazillion times about digital marketing. What is the right approach? What is the right channels? What is the right strategy? Well, today in the cafe, I've got Chase Geiser, president of Cube, a digital marketing firm. And Chase and I are going to ride in the Scooby-Doo van, the mystery machine, to solve all the digital marketing mysteries out there. Chase, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Angelo. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah. So Scooby-Doo kind of caught you off guard on that one, didn't
I? Yeah, hey, I love it. I love it. I grew up watching Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. So later on, you're going to be Shaggy, but we'll keep going on this.
Okay.
So to kind of get things started, let's tell the audience about yourself and your agency.
Sure. So I started doing digital marketing in 2014, right out of college. And 2 years later, I started taking clients on the side. And when it got to the point where my clients were greater than my income at my job, I quit my job and I started my agency. So going on 4 years now almost, I've been doing digital marketing for clients all over the world, specifically Facebook advertising, search advertising, and web development.
Oh, congratulations on
Thank
four
you.
Years. And congratulations, I think you just hired your first employee.
I did.
All right, I love that. We've got a growing business here. So
That's
listeners
right.
out there, we're going to talk about not only digital marketing, but here we've got a business that is growing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. So before we start, I always ask a couple questions. And the first one, when you're thinking about growing your business, what keeps you up at night?
Ooh, I would say that the thing that keeps me up at night is the rate of change in the industry. So with digital marketing, you know, the internet's always going to be here, but the way that we use it and the mediums that we use in order to be effective with it and growing business for ourselves and our clients, those methods and mediums change all the time. So I'm always trying to find ways to diversify and make sure that I'm staying on top of things. So when there's a shift in the market, we can ride that wave.
How much time do you have to spend really watching the changes and the trends, or does it just kind of naturally happen because you're doing it?
I probably take a new 3 hour to 10 hour course on digital marketing online every, I would say, 14 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm pretty serious about it. And there's different ones too. So I'll take a course on, you know, new trends in Twitter. I'll take a course on new trends in Instagram, new trends in Facebook advertising, and making sure that I'm staying sharp on that, because there's always new features. There's always algorithm updates. Mm-hmm. And when the algorithms update, your behavior has to change in order to maximize how you can be efficient with those changes. So,
sure.
So I'm staying on top of it constantly.
Well, you have to. For people like myself that get involved in digital strategies, and I actually went back to school for a while a couple years ago, or 3 years ago, I guess it was, mm-hmm. and got a degree in digital strategies from UCI.
What was your GPA?
It was actually like 3.8, by the
That's
way.
Great.
Yeah, but... And I do remember that, because I got a certificate and everything on my wall. But I don't implement, right? So
sure.
I get to hire guys like your agency
yeah.
and be able to communicate with you. That's my goal, is be able to communicate. But to stay on all the trends, I see how involved you have to be. So I think that's kind of one of the areas that I see with small businesses. They tend to try to implement themselves. And it changes so rapidly, as we're talking about. They just can't stay up on it. And then when it doesn't work... You know, they've got issues
yeah.
and problems, when the fact is they just didn't implement the right program.
Absolutely. I always say bad advertising doesn't work. Most of my clients are clients that have tried to do marketing on their own and they've given up. And they reach out asking to improve results. And, I know that we've been talking about the importance of staying on top of the industry and riding the trends. But I will say that there are timeless principles that you have to apply as well, because a lot of agencies and a lot of digital marketers get really stuck on trying to take the shortcut mm-hmm. or do the trendy thing in order to hack the algorithm and, you know, get more engagement or more followers. But really, there are some key principles that it boils down to, like having good content, thinking about your audience first, empathizing, that really have to be in place in order for the trends to work the way that they should.
Okay. You just named three.
Sure.
Are there a few more that you think are kind of like the top five?
Yeah,
principles?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually writing a book now called The 25 Laws of Advertising.
Okay.
And so there are 25, and I'm not going to try to name them all off the top of my head. But empathizing with your audience is the most important thing, because what a lot of businesses do is they think that they understand who they serve, but they really don't. And if they know who they serve, they don't necessarily understand why their client or their prospect is going to resonate with their product more. So a lot of times, for example, you have instances with technology companies where they think that the reason the customer is really interested in their product or service is because of all the features that it has, mm-hmm. whereas it's not so much the features that it has, but it's how it makes them feel, right? And we saw that with Apple a lot, whereas PC, you know, in the early days would really emphasize all the things you could do with it. Apple was like, look, are you a creator? This is how, you know, this is how you can define yourself with our technology. So,
well, I think that's important what you just said, because those are the basic principles. I mean, I'll take it out of digital and just take it into marketing. I mean, understanding your customer is a mantra I've been using. Know your customer for years and years and years and years. Because how do I market to somebody that I don't know what their motivations are, what their behaviors are? Why do they make buying decisions? Are they the user or are they the purchaser? I mean, you really have to understand. And the same goes for digital marketing. It's just the difference is we can really drill down now and really fine-tune with the data that's available to you to make instantaneous changes versus, I'll call it the old days, you had to wait 30, 60, 90 days until the next cycle of the magazine kind of rolled around.
Mm-hmm.
So, but those basic principles are the same. But mm-hmm. to your point, people want to take shortcuts. It's for me, it's, you know, I deal with insights and strategy and brand strategies. And I get calls and say, hey, I need a website and a brochure. Well, mm-hmm. we'll time out, right? Let's go back and look at what we're trying to accomplish before we go about tactics. And I think mm-hmm. that's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, it's really funny because I have a client that does video production work for realtors in Georgia and in North Carolina as well. And we ran these ads trying to target realtors that needed video production for their listings, like drone footage and stuff of, you know, new residential listings. And I thought, you know, there's not that many realtors in this specific area that we're targeting, so I'm just going to throw small business owners in there too. And even though the ad is, the message is toward realtors and the creative is obviously about real estate listings, I'm going to see what happens. And it was funny because we actually saw more leads come in for small business owners wanting footage, just sort of promoting their business and, you know, getting another team and sort of promo videos for their businesses than we did for real estate clients. But it was just because the content was good, it resonated, it had a clear message, and you could see the quality there. So it is funny. You never know where the business might actually be for you, despite what your perspective is going into it.
Right. So the other question I want to ask is, what is the best business advice you've ever received and or given, if it's different?
The best business advice I ever received was from my dad, actually. And I think it was originally from an old mafia movie. I can't remember what movie it was, but it's basically when things are good, they're not as good as you think. And when things are bad, they're not as bad as you think. So when you're flush, don't spend all your cash. And when you're broke, don't give up because it's not over.
Okay. Nice. I like that. I like that a lot. We'll have to figure out what mafia movie that is.
Yeah, I'll know as soon as I walk out.
Yeah, so hopefully none of my family members were in it.
Yeah, right.
If you think about, you know, companies early on in their new business ventures, I mean, what do you see as kind of their biggest challenges when someone turns to you and says, you know, I need a digital campaign? I mean, is it just as simple as, hey, I need a digital campaign? Or are they very specific? Or what are the mistakes that you see small businesses and medium-sized, any size business,
so this making
over and over and over again?
I love this question. This is one of the laws of the 25 laws of advertising. No investment means no return on investment. Right. And so I have people that are like, hey, my budget's $500. We want, you know, 10,000 followers and X number of sales. I'm like, look, $500, like, what are you going to do? So, you know, and I think that, you know, businesses in the beginning, they obviously have to be prudent and frugal with their cash flow. And so it's, you know, very important not to be wasteful. But in order to do an advertising campaign or a marketing campaign or invest in your brand just generally properly, you have to either be willing to invest an incredible amount of time if you don't have the money, or a significant amount of money. It doesn't have to be outrageous, but something substantial. I mean, if you can afford to buy a BMW, you can afford to do something significant with your digital marketing. And so that would be probably one of the things that I see with startups the most, is just that they're too gun shy about their budget, or they're not willing to put the time in because they're distracted with all the other challenges that come into running a startup, that they just don't understand how much of an investment it is and how serious it is. People think social media is just, you know, posting and, you know, praying for followers, but it's not. I mean, when I'm trying to grow an Instagram page, I have spreadsheets upon spreadsheets of competitor pages. What hashtags are they using? How many followers? What time of day are they posting? I mean, there are all these variables that go into how you're going to make your content and how you're going to make your audience grow and your brand grow. It's not just a walk in the park.
Sure. I have found when I have talked to businesses and worked on social programs with them, it's the expectations. Mm-hmm. Because it is instantaneous, right? We're dealing with instantaneous gratification mm-hmm. in so many situations. Therefore, the results are expected to be instantaneous. Mm-hmm. And so I'll say this facetiously, but I'm not actually that kidding that much. It, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 2 months, and it's like, well, you know, I'm not selling a gazillion widgets. And they don't give it a time to mature and really understand. And I know, you know, in talking to you, there's a lot of opportunities. You're watching it. You're making adjustments to the copy, to the headlines. You do a lot mm-hmm. of A/B testing, really fine-tuning it before you kind of turn the spigot on. How do you deal with clients' expectations so they don't get edgy and cranky too soon into the program?
Yeah, so there's so many variables that go into play into whether or not a campaign is going to be successful, right? So there's the creative variable, you know, what do the graphics look like, or what is the video like? There's the copy variable, so what's the text like? There's the headline variable, what's the call to action? And then there's the destination variable, what does the landing page look like once people engage with the creative? And then there's the pricing variable, is the price right? And then there's the demand variable, is there actually demand for your product or service? That's another problem with a lot of startups. They think they have the best idea ever and nobody cares, right?
Of course, yeah. It's the same thing
with musicians. And so what you have to do is you have to allow enough time to do controlled experiments on all of those variables, because you can't test multiple variables at once. We know this, right? But you can test them one at a time, and it takes time to do that and variations in order to do that successfully. And so that's what makes it take time, especially with new campaigns, to discover what's going to work. Sometimes you hit the nail on the head right away. It happens that there are instant results, and people think there are instant results with Facebook advertising, for example, because it costs less than $10 to reach 1,000 people. But like I said earlier, bad advertisements don't work, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to figure out what is a good advertisement for your product and to your audience.
Okay. And that's where, in my world, market research comes in, and really understanding, you know, what the client is looking for. So, okay, we're gonna get on our mystery van here, and you're going to be Shaggy. I guess I'll be Scooby.
Okay.
And
I didn't bring any snacks. Sorry.
Yeah, there you go,
here
man.
You go.
So, in designing the strategy, I mean, it really, there's a lot of components, just like for me, in designing that marketing strategy and looking at your target customers. And there are some kind of rules of thumb that you can tell the audience that is listening, besides hire you, but
sure.
As far as
sure.
You know, when you're setting your own digital strategy up, what are some of those kind of these two or three or four things you really need to pay attention to?
Okay, so the first thing I do whenever I get a new client is I make sure that we have a clear understanding of who the competitors are. And if the client doesn't know that answer, I figure it out. But if the client knows the answer already, I learn that and verify that.
Okay.
And once we know who the competitors are, there's a lot of really great tools that we use to determine what their competitors are doing. So, for example, with Facebook's new privacy policies, you can see what any brand is doing in terms of advertising on their platform. And so what we'll do, the first thing we'll do is we'll go and we'll look at all their competitors and see what their ads are on Facebook. And we'll look to see which ones have been running the longest, because we know that the ones that have been running the longest are obviously successful, because
exactly.
They haven't turned them off. And we will not plagiarize, but we will really take that into consideration when we go into making the creative. And so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You do have to be original, but there are a lot of great starting points that aren't ground zero in terms of actually doing the creative. And of course, it just depends on the client, but it's pretty easy to determine in most cases how to do the targeting. But from a creative standpoint, I recommend really studying your competitors and not copying off of them, but really taking into consideration what they're doing, because you'll know that that's resonating with the same audience.
Okay. So we've got our strategy. Now we're moving into channels, the funnel, and the kind of, we'll call it the various tactics. Mm-hmm. A lot of options out there. I'm a believer there's no silver bullet in marketing, mm-hmm. only werewolves, unless we want to play Lone Ranger. So there's a lot. Blogs, infographics, Instagram, Snapchat, ebooks, video, Twitter, YouTube, case studies, Facebook, if I didn't say that already, LinkedIn, podcasts. Mm-hmm. What are these on? What are still the strong ones? And I know that kind of determining based on your audience and what you're trying to communicate. But are there some, like, if you're in this kind of lane, these are kind of the must-haves. If you're in this kind of lane, these are the must-haves. These are going up. These are going down. Any mm-hmm. insights that you can impart?
Yeah. So my philosophy on that is no stone unturned. Okay. So if you're serious about your business, if you're a small business owner and this is your passion, if you're an artist and this is your passion, or if you're, you know, the chief marketing officer for a major corporation, if you're serious about killing it in business, do every platform and do every platform awesome. Absolutely. And, you know, you have to start somewhere. So if you don't have the resources to do everything right away, I recommend starting with Facebook and Instagram, just because their advertising data is so great for targeting. And there's so many daily users that you can really make your dollar go far. But right now with my business, we're doing a lot of internal work on making sure that we're creating podcast content, creating video content, that we're boosting our Twitter, boosting our Instagram, boosting our Facebook pages. I mean, we are doing everything that we can in order to build on every platform. I'm a big fan of Gary Vee. I'm not sure if you follow Gary Vaynerchuk at all on social media, but he's been very successful with his company, VaynerMedia. They have 800 employees. They have clients all over the world. And he is just everywhere on every platform, and it's really paid off because it's like the snowball effect. Each platform and each piece of content that you make, it serves to fuel the other platforms and the other content. And so once you do it for a while, it gets to the point where it just starts growing itself and funneling all this power behind your brand and your presence.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Good advice. So basically, everything's fair game, and you shouldn't ignore any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So tell me a story about a successful engagement, and then tell me one about a not-so-successful engagement and why.
Okay. So I have a client right now that owns 60 Sprint stores in the Southeast region, and I would say that they are a success story. They spend close to $20,000, sometimes more, every month on Facebook and Instagram advertising, and they're currently seeing leads for less than $3 a lead with a return on their ad spend of 5 to 10 times, depending on the month or the week.
Nice.
And when we started working with them, their leads were coming in at $30 instead of $3. And what we did over time, months and months, is we continuously used the data that we were getting from the ads to inform the creative that we used, but we also created lookalike audiences based off of their existing customers or the existing engagements. And so as we continued to refine and create audiences based off of audiences that we know were successful for us, we got to the point where we are just killing it in terms of the lead volume, and their stores are constantly busy keeping up with making the calls to these leads that are coming in.
Okay.
So that's a success story. I would say a failed story would be early on, I took on a facial moisturizer client, and I learned early that it just doesn't work for me. Maybe it works for someone else, but it's a lot easier to sell one thing for $1,000 than 1,000 things for $1. Right.
Yeah.
And so when you're trying to sell a face moisturizer for $1 a bottle, it's really hard to have a positive return on ad spend because you might get a sale for it costs you $10 in advertising for a $1 bottle. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I really learned early on that I wanted with my business to focus on high margin or higher ticket products and services just because there's a lot more room for success there. And I know that there's a lot of small business owners or solopreneurs out there that are considering starting drop shipping companies. It's very trendy right now. And what they're doing is they're making these stores with all these really cheap products, thinking that cheap products will sell, and the margin just isn't there. So I recommend finding a niche, using high-end products with, you know, 50% margins and killing it that way. We have a client right now, we're selling, they've made $11,000 in profit just this month selling bicycle helmets for $100 at $50 a profit.
Wow.
And so you know, if it was a $25 helmet, that would be a different story, right?
Yep. So I know we're actually, believe it or not, we're starting to come to a close here.
Sorry.
So let's talk about,
I'm a little verbose.
No, this is fantastic. Okay, let's talk about technology, right? There's a lot of changes. We've got artificial intelligence, we've got chatbots, we've got machine learning. How do you see this impacting the digital world as it is today?
Seth Godin did an awesome podcast on this on his podcast Akimbo, and I can't remember what episode it was. I think it was one of the most recent ones. And basically he said that artificial intelligence is going to come in and it's going to replace the task. It's always going to do tasks better than us. Mm-hmm. But as long as we position ourselves to own the result of the task, then we won't ever be trumped by it. And so I think that technology is great. I'm all for it. I don't think it's going to ruin the world. I don't think it's going to kill jobs. I think it's just going to change jobs. And I think that what we have to do is set ourselves up as entities that are in the position to own the result of the task, and we have to use these tools and sell that result.
Okay. Fantastic. So let's break it down to, before we say goodbye and tell people how they can reach you.
Sure.
Any open form, any final suggestions, guidance to our listeners that they're thinking about implementing, or they're in the middle of implementing, or they're running a social program? Any parting words that you'd like to give?
Yeah, my biggest piece of advice for somebody who is in a position where they know that they want to do this with their business, but they don't necessarily have the resources to outsource it, would be to use sources like YouTube and Udemy, udemy.com, to take the courses that are really highly reviewed for $9.99 and learn how to do this stuff. And that's how I started in the beginning, was YouTube and online courses. And you'll know the right ones because they'll have tons of people that have taken them and they'll have excellent reviews. And it's pretty obvious to determine what's legitimate and what's bogus. And just really take the time to study, because it's not child's play. I mean, you know, you can, just because you know how to play chess doesn't mean you can beat Bobby Fischer.
Yeah.
So you have to learn from the masters in order to play like the masters.
All right, great advice. And I can speak from experience. It's not an easy thing. You just can't sit down in 5 minutes and become an expert in buying Facebook. So
sure.
I do encourage. That's great advice, and I hope they all listen. So why don't you tell our audience how they can get a hold of you, all your websites, your contact
sure.
information, all that
sure.
great stuff.
So my website is cube.is/awesome. That's cube.is/awesome. And all my contact information is right there.
All right. Well, Chase, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation. I know it's an important one. I know that any strategy or any program out there that's not encompassing some kind of digital approach is probably missing the mark. And so, again, a very great conversation and for the audience. So thank you again for joining us at the cafe. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, view my show videos, or sign up to receive more information at theponzagroup.com, or certainly connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO but not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. Or if you're a small business looking for a business coach or advisor, please reach out to me as well. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. And if you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to invite others to subscribe, especially if you think and enjoying this content. And obviously, if you're a subscriber and you're listening, you are happy. So I encourage you to invite others. They can go to the Business Growth Cafe to sign up, or on any major podcast platform, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Spotify, just to name a few. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.